ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Salam dear listeners, and welcome once again to Outside Inside Deep Inside. Today is November 12th, the birthday month is on, and we are in this beautiful nectarous ocean of Satyam Shivam Sundaram in this program Outside Inside Deep Inside. These beautiful tales, beautiful stories from Bhagwan's life should go deep inside us. They should do something within which reveals the beauty that is in us. In fact, in a very beautiful discourse in 1970, Bhagwan reveals, I am neither man nor God nor an aerial spirit. I am neither Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I cannot be described as a Brahmachari or an householder or a renunciant or a recluse or a monk. Describe me as a teacher of truth, Satya Bodhakaha. Describe me as Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, truth, goodness and beauty. And Swami does not stop there. Swami says, your reality too is Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. When we listen to these stories from Bhagwan's life, if it serves to awaken the Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram latent in us, then these stories would have found meaningful fulfillment. This Shravanam should definitely lead to Nididhyasanam. It should become our Dhyanam. And it should lead to our purification. Swami says, without truth, there cannot be goodness. Without Satyam, there is no Shivam. Without goodness, what does beauty avail? What is the point of beauty without goodness? Without Shivam, where is Sundaram? Swami says, the effect of truth on the mind is goodness. The effect of Satya, truth on the mind, is Shivam. The joy that flows from Shivam is the genuine beauty that artists love, Swami says. The joy that flows from Shivam is truly Sundaram. You cannot separate one from the other. These three are really one and indivisible, Swami says. Experience this truth. This truth as goodness, this goodness as beauty, this will give you highest bliss. And so aptly Bhagwan named his biography as Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. Swami says, go straight on the royal road that leads to self-realization. Don't stray into the bylanes of counterfeit bliss. Why are you going after nakli bliss? Why are you going after all these imitations of happiness? Go after the real happiness. And this does not mean that you have to give up your kith and kin and go alone and your life is going to be dry and boring. No, no, no. Swami says the community in which you find yourself, that is the arena where you can win the victory. That is the place. That is the gymnasium where you will develop that skill to win. There's a very beautiful gymnasium. That is the society. That is the community. Win victory there. You don't have to go to a forest. The spiritual journey, Swami says, lies through compassion, sympathy, mutual help, service. And all these are fostered by society and are to be used for society, Bhagwan says. So in this beautiful Siri, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, we have been soaking ourselves in lovely anecdotes from Bhagwan's early life. The idea was to focus on instances that happened between 1950 and 1955. But even as we discover so many beautiful stories of that era, there are so many more which have happened, and fortunately we have some documentation of these have happened even before the 1950s. In 1950, Bhagwan inaugurated the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. The Prashanti Nilayam came into being, but I have been sharing with you stories which are pre-50 as well as immediate 50. 51, 52, as well as 46, 47, and that is where we have been drinking the nectar from. An Inspector General of Police, who was a devotee of Bhagwan, went in a jeep in the midst of a communal riot between the Hindus and the Muslims in Bangalore, way back in the 40s, during the time of India's independence. There were a lot of communal strife. There was a lot of Hindu-Muslim dissonance at that point in time. And during this period, in the clash, a bullet shot was aimed at this Inspector General, and this bullet came flying towards his chin, and suddenly he saw and he actually felt the force of Bhagwan's hand pushing him to one side. Someone was just pushing him to one side, and he very, very narrowly escaped being hit by the bullet. The bullet fell beside the jeep. And once the bullet fell down, Swami's hand disappeared. So many instances are there in our lives. Some we know, some we do not know. When Bhagwan has given us this push and saved us from so many bullets. Some bullets we can see, some bullets we don't even know. Some bullets which were supposed to come and he stopped. There was a six month old child of a devotee who was a relative of Srimati Nagmani Purnaya, the devotee from the yesteryears, who has documented many beautiful stories from the 40s and 50s in her book, The Divine Leelas of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. She writes how this 6 month old relative of hers was nearly dying in Bangalore. The body of this little one had turned blue, and Bhagwan, who was in Bangalore at that point in time, went into their house, took the child in his divine hands, gave it a good shake, and materialized some vibhuti and rubbed it all over the body of this child. And as Bhagwan rubbed the vibhuti on this child, the color of the body of this baby turned from blue to normal. In just a few seconds, the boy was born anew. And he grew up to be a very healthy, happy young man. That is what Bhagwan does. When his hand fall on our troubles, blue becomes orange. In those days, when the accessibility of the physical form was much more, people were witness to so many such miracles. Miracles which stunned them, miracles which revealed to them, miracles which touched and transformed them. There's a woman who was bitten by a cobra and she became unconscious. Those who were near her carried her to Bhagwan and prayed to Swami that, Swami, only you can save her. And Bhagwan readily materialized vibhuti mixed it with water, poured part of it in her mouth and part of it in her ears. And once Bhagwan did that, suddenly, as if she was in deep sleep, this lady woke up and she was clueless what was happening to her, and she started asking people, "Why are you standing around me? What happened to that snake? I saw a snake coming near me. I saw a snake biting me." When she realized what had happened, and when she saw Bhagwan there, she fell at Bhagwan's feet and he said, "Swami, you are the one who have given my children a mother. Why should one fear when Sai is near?" This is what Bhagwan was instilling in the hearts and minds of devotees who came to him in the 40s and 50s, who had this opportunity to be directly blessed by him, directly cured by him, directly protected by him. The protection, the cure continues and it will continue. But in those days they had the opportunity of seeing Bhagwan in flesh and blood and being with him, being with that beautiful form and seeing, just like we read about Krishna Leelas, isn't it? That is how it was in the early years. Srimati Nagamani Purnima talks about her sister-in-law's great-granddaughter. Suddenly this little girl developed sores all over her head, and it was a very, very sad sight to see a girl like that, and she was crying with pain. Her parents, despairing of the child's condition, brought her to Nagamani Purnaya's sister-in-law. They said that, "We have tried all remedies, everything we have tried has not given any results. The sores were becoming worse by the day, and it looked like the child was not going to live." And this sister-in-law of Srimati Nagamani Purnaya told them, "There is hope, don't worry, we have Swami." And they brought the child to Puttaparthi. They placed the child at Bhagwan's feet, and the parents prayed to Swami with great faith to treat the child, to relieve them of their anxiety. Swami said, "Now you have left the child to my care. Now you don't have to worry." And immediately his hands moved in circles. Out came Vibhuti. And Swami asked them to apply that vibhuti on the child's head that night. Very diligently they followed Bhagwan's instructions. And the next morning, to their amazement, all the boils had peeled off. All the sores had just become dry skin. And they fell like a cap just came out of the child's head. Unbelievably, the child had got back her natural skin and color and hair. Completely cured. I had no pain, absolutely no pain. "If you come to me, if you keep your faith in me, forsaking all, I trust him." That is what is faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. If we can trust him, then we can taste the beautiful nectar of his grace, his protection, his love. Once Bhagwan and important members of a royal family were in the car, there were a few other people in the same entourage, and they were sitting in the jeep. And as the journey went on, unfortunately, there was an accident and the jeep that was following Swami's car toppled over. And one of the occupants in the jeep was a boy. And this boy was thrown out of the jeep and he was caught under the vehicle. And now the others tried to lift the jeep to extricate this boy. But try as they might, they just could not succeed. They could not lift the jeep and save the boy. And the boy's mother was there and she started crying and she ran to Swami. Bhagwan was there in the other car and prayed to Bhagwan to save her son. Swami immediately came out of that car and in a second Swami went near the jeep and Swami just with his mere movement of his finger, Swami lifted the jeep just like Krishna had lifted the Govardhana mountain. In a trice, Swami lifted the jeep and the boy emerged from under the jeep absolutely unhurt. How is it possible that the boy is completely safe? He is not hurt at all when such a big jeep fell over him. How was it that Krishna lifted the Govardhana mountain on his little finger? How was it that Krishna annihilated all those gigantic demons with his tiny, delicate hands and just that sweet smile? If you look at the leelas of the Lord, you will find a kaleidoscope. All kinds of beautiful demonstrations of love, of power, of grace, of His mastery over nature, of His mastery over matter, of His omniscience, of His omnipotence, of His unbounded mercy. The same royal family had once taken Bhagwan to Kunur, another hill station where they all stayed for 15 days. The men, including Bhagwan, would sleep in one hall and the woman would sleep in another hall. In the middle of one night, the men saw that Bhagwan was not on his bed. And there was actually a raging thunderstorm outside. It was raining very heavily. So they started searching for Bhagwan all over the house, but they could not find him. So finally, the men folk went outside to look for him. And there they saw Bhagwan was standing in the garden under the open sky, and since it was raining heavily and it was threatening to pour even more forcefully, one of them ran with an umbrella to give it to Swami to protect Bhagwan from the rain. But when he took the umbrella and went to his utter amazement, he saw that the spot where Swami was standing was quite dry. Not a drop of water was on his clothes. Not a drop of water on his robe. And Srimati Nagamani Purneya says, personally, I have been a witness to so many such incredible events during my years of association with Bhagwan. And it always only seemed like Lord Krishna is reenacting His leelas. The old scriptures have come alive. In fact, Srimati Nagamani Purneya writes that I had always longed to see this Krishna leelas. And the way Bhagwan had fulfilled this intense longing of mine was so remarkable. Every day, every moment with Bhagwan in those days was just one astounding leela after another. It was just Dwapara reenacted in the current times with again a very chosen few devotees. At that time it was gopis and gopalas. Here Bhagwan chose probably those souls who had prayed, who had longed to partake this divine joy, and that is the reason why it was always a very handful of devotees who had the opportunity in those days. And it was really not an ordinary occurrence that when the avatar is just 10, 15, 20 years, 25 years, you have that intense faith, it is difficult. But these devotees who had that faith, they were every day just drinking nectar from Sai Krishna.
Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna Partha Sarade Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna Partha Sarade Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna Govardhana Dhar Sridhara Muradhara Govardhana Dhar Sridhara Muradhara Gopika Ramana Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna Nishodhana Sajjana Palana
Nishodhana Sajjana Palana
Gomedaka Mani Bhushana Mohana
Gomedaka Mani Bhushana Mohana
Kamala Saranayana Krishna Patasarathe Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna
Partasarathe Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna
Nishodhana Sajjana Palana
Kamsa Nishodhana Sajjana Palana
Gomedaka Mani Bhushana Mohana
Gomedaka Mani Bhushana Mohana
Kamala Dalanayana Krishna Partasarathe Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna
Partasarathe Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna
Govardhana Dhar Sridhar Muradhara
Govardhana Dhar Sridhar Muradhara
Gopika Ramana Krishna 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 Partasarathe Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna
Partasarathe Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna Partasarathe Krishna Partinath Sai Krishna
Parthasarathe Krishna, Parthivasa Sai Krishna. It's the same Krishna who was Dwarka Nivasi, became Parthi Nivasi, and the same Leelas were enacted, as Bhagwan said, the first 16 years of my life will be full of Leelas. And that is the reason why when you read these accounts, you know that how every day was filled with such out of the world scenes for devotees to see. And it's our fortune that at least something has been documented by a few devotees. There was once a devotee of Bhagwan who lost a ring studded with diamonds and emerald, and it could not be traced even after a thorough search in the house. So the loss was reported to the police, and the police in their own way suspected the servants, and they subjected the servants to multiple interrogations in their usual manner. And Bhagwan happened to visit this house a few days later, and the servants of the house, they went to Bhagwan and they took refuge in Swami, and they asked Swami to help them because they said they are not able to bear the treatment meted out to them by the police. And then Bhagwan told the hostess, Bhagwan told the lady of the house that the servants were not responsible for the loss of the ring. Swami said it is actually one of your own relatives who had stolen it. And of course, the lady of the house could not believe Bhagwan's words. It seemed so strange that actually one of our relatives had stolen it. When Bhagwan gave the description of the relative's house, Bhagwan exactly told who and where the ring had gone. That's when the lady of the house completely understood that the servants were not at fault. And Bhagwan, in his own mercy, went further and he brought back the ring from the box in which it had been kept. Swami told the lady, "Don't harass the servants anymore. They are not guilty. The one who is guilty is somewhere else and someone you would not suspect. But anyway, since you are so worried about this, I'm getting it back." And Bhagwan just brought it back. That is how problems just get solved when you have the ultimate problem solver to deal with your anxieties. Once another queen, who was a great devotee of Bhagwan, had lost one of her pair of pearl-studded bangles and she could not find it anywhere. Long afterwards, during one of her trips to Puttaparthi, she mentioned to Bhagwan about this loss. And Swami said, "Do you have the other bangle with you?" And she said, "Yes, Swami." "Swami, give me that." So when she gave the other bangle to Swami, Swami took this first bangle into his hands, and in a moment, Bhagwan gave back the first bangle. By the time the first bangle reached the hand of this devotee, it had become a pair. She had got back her lost bangle in a second. Even her initials were on it as they had been before the bangle was lost, the exact one. And this Rani, this queen, she had never thought or dreamt that she would ever get back that lost bangle. And that is how Swami is. He gives you back double. Okay, you have that one bangle, you give that to me. And in return, and it had become two. That is how it is with Bhagwan. You keep your faith, you go to him, he will just multiply the blessings that already you are blessed with. There used to be many devotees who used to come from Kuppam. In fact, we know the book Anyatha Sharanam Nasti, written by Srimati Vijay Kumari from Kuppam. Their family was very blessed to come to Bhagwan in those early years. The head of that family suddenly took ill and started vomiting blood, and the doctor said that there was no hope for his survival. And since all of them had great faith in Bhagwan, this man also said, let's go to Puttaparthi. But on the way, this man became unconscious and his body became cold. When they finally reached Puttaparthi, in those days it was so difficult to come. When they were with Bhagwan, by that time, this man was at the very doorsteps of death. And his wife, prostrated at Bhagwan's feet with tears in her eyes, and begged for the life of her husband. And Bhagwan, when he heard this call of anguish, Swami told, get up, don't worry, don't cry in such a desperate manner, don't worry. And the people who were around, they were saying, we should take this person out of the mandir because this person may die at any moment. It was that precarious. But Swami said, no, take the man to an adjacent room. And then Bhagwan went into that room, and Swami asked this man's son also to be with him. And Bhagwan bolted the door from inside. Later, the son narrated what had happened inside after Bhagwan had shut the door. Swami first called this man by his name, but the man did not respond. Then Bhagwan materialized vibhuti, and Swami mixed it with water and poured it into his mouth and smeared the rest of the vibhuti all over his body. And once Bhagwan did this, the man opened his eyes. He opened his eyes as if he was waking up from sleep. Bhakta Rakshaka Shri Satya Sai, Bhaktodharaka Shri Satya Sai. Swami always says that I am the servant of my devotees. And that is what he has done. Whenever we have a problem, I think there is no one who is as alert as Swami to protect us, isn't it? We may be anywhere. It could be any point in time. Nobody can take care of us like that. Only He can, because He is there everywhere. And He is constantly alert, awake for us. In fact, when this man was completely cured, he did not want to go back to his home. He just wanted to stay in Parthi, and he just only wanted to spend the rest of his life doing seva to Bhagwan. And Swami so graciously celebrated his 60th birthday, this devotee's 60th birthday. And Swami observed it with all the prescribed religious rites in Indian tradition. The 60th birthday of the husband is celebrated as Shashti Purti. It is almost a time of remarriage, a spiritual remarriage that happens. And Bhagwan called this couple, and this pious couple first had an oil bath. They put on new clothes and jewelry, and Swami very, very copiously blessed them. Bhagwan sat on a chair in the midst of all the celebration. His face was shining as bright as the full moon. And the couple and other members of the family did Pada Puja to Swami. They worshipped his feet. And then Bhagwan asked this couple to sit on a pedestal, and Bhagwan gave them new clothes. Bhagwan waved his hand and materialized a golden mangalyam. Mangalyam is an auspicious ornament, a wedding ornament. So Swami, materialized this golden mangalyam tied in yellow thread and he gave it to the man to tie it around his wife's neck. Spiritual marriage. Now a marriage done directly by Bhagavan. He not only gave the person life, he gave the person all the happiness that one wants in life. In fact, after many months, this couple had gone back to Kuppam just for a short stay. And one day, before this man went to bed, his wife had given him a sleeping pill because that day he was not feeling well. Wife thought that if he just sleeps well one night, he would be better the next day. But the man got up in the middle of the night and he was proceeding towards the bathroom, which was across the garden. On one side of the garden was the bathroom, while on the other side there was an open deep well. This man, because of the effect of the sleeping pill, walked on the wrong side. And instead of going to the toilet, he went deep into the well. He just fell into the well. And even as he was falling, all he could do was just shout. And he was shouting Swami's name. We were just shouting Swami's name. There was an electric motor near the surface of the water and the man managed to catch hold of it and he started shouting Bhagavan's name, and then he started calling out his wife, for his wife. Somehow, he did not touch the bottom of the water. He was just being lifted up. He held on to that electric motor. And hearing these shouts, the wife got up and they started searching. The sons got up and they started searching for him and trying to look from where is the noise coming, and they rushed in alarm to the place from where the voice was coming. And when they realized that, oh my God, he has fallen into the well, they didn't know what to do. So they left the mother near the well. The third son ran for the doctor. The second son went to fetch a rope. The eldest son climbed down the well to help his father out. They brought a rope, they tied a chair to the rope and they lowered it into the well and they managed to somehow pull him out. It was a 2-hour operation for him to be rescued out of the well. And of course by then many other people from the neighborhood also gathered there. The doctor also had arrived to attend to any emergency. And they all thought that man would be seriously hurt because of the fall. But when they saw him, there was absolutely no injury on his body. Absolutely, he was just comfortably seated on the chair and they just pulled him out. He was actually quite cheerful. And he said, I don't know, I was all the time feeling that someone was physically holding me up above the water. And the very next day, the entire family, they went to Puttaparthi and they fell at Bhagavan's feet and they thanked him for saving the life of this man once again. And Swami very sweetly said, oh, my shoulders are paining very much because of the weight of your body. I had to carry the weight for 2 hours before they could lift you from the well. What can we say of the leelas of the Lord who is there? As Bhagavan says, you may be in the deepest of the oceans or you may be in the farthest of the skies. You are never far from me and you are never far from my protection. In Hampi, a couple was ardent devotee of Bhagavan. On the day of Lakshmi Puja, Varalakshmi Puja, when they worship Mother Varalakshmi, When they were about to start the puja, they told each other how happy we would be if only Swami were to be with us at that point in time. They loved Swami so much. And even as they just thought like this, they saw Swami walking into the house. They were thrilled that Swami was there, actually, in response to their little wish. They were so overwhelmed with joy. And even as they were seeing this, they said, Swami, today is Varalakshmi Puja Day. If only you had brought Lakshmi with you, Swami, we would have offered puja to her in person. How much more thrilling it would have been. Hardly they said this, and Swami himself transformed into Lakshmi, Mother Lakshmi. He had become that beautiful, delicate, feminine grace of the goddess. They made Mother Lakshmi now seated on the pedestal and they performed puja. They did their Varalakshmi puja to their heart's content. Srimati Nagmani Purnia in the book writes, I know all this may sound very unbelievable, incredible, out of the world stories, but she says every word, believe me, it is true. This is how it was to live with Swami in those days. In reality, you are always in a dreamlike state because that is how it was. When such a phenomenon happens, when the one who is beyond time, space, takes a human form, obviously, he takes us out of this limitations of time and space. In fact, the same fortunate couple, they had a daughter and they were looking to get her married. And the daughter liked a boy who was their neighbor. But the father did not approve of the marriage because this neighbor was very poor. This boy was very poor. But the mother liked the boy and the mother wanted the daughter to marry that boy, but the father was adamant in his refusal, and this gave to a bit of unrest in the family, and there was a lot of unhappiness in the household every day. And Bhagwan responded to the prayer of this girl, and look at what Bhagwan did. Swami came in the dream of the father, and Swami said, you will find a mangalyam, that auspicious pendant tied around the bride's neck during marriage. Swami said, you will find a mangalyam in your puja room. Now listen to me. You can get your daughter married to whoever is able to take it from there. Whoever can take that mangalyam from your puja room, get your daughter married to that person. It is almost like that Swayambara that we hear of the earlier era, right? Whoever can lift the bow can marry this bride, whoever can do this feat can take this bride, can be blessed to take the hand of this princess. I mean, that is how we used to read. We read about the earlier era. Here now Swami is telling to the father in the dream, whoever is able to take that mangalyam from your puja room, you get your daughter married to that person. And when the father woke up in the morning, he really ignored what Swami had said, thinking it was just some dream. And, you know, these are these dreams which have no meaning. So, he didn't really give it much credibility. And he went to the puja room to do his usual puja, but he was stunned to see that there was something shining among the flowers, and when he looked at it closely, there was indeed that mangalyam, just as Bhagwan had told him in the dream. And when he tried to take it out, he could not take it out. He just could not move that mangalyam. He called the rest of the people in the family, but no one could move that mangalyam. It is almost like fixed to earth. Nobody was able to move it. And since Swami had told whoever can move, that Mangalyam, you get your daughter married. Finally, he had no option but to call this boy who was the neighbor. And when the boy came, and when the boy touched the Mangalyam, it just came off. Just like Rama lifted that bow. And no other king was able to do it, and it just happened. As if it is just a feather and not a bow. The same thing happened here. When the boy came and touched the Mangalyam, it just moved. And that's when the reality of the dream really struck this man, this father. And the father very happily then gave the daughter in marriage to the boy. And this couple, they were so happily married, and they came to Puttaparthi and they got Bhagwan's blessing. Bhagwan is your only friend. He can make impossible things happen. He can do anything. It is our faith, it is our love for him, it is our trust in him, it is our accepting him as the most precious, dear friend. If we have that attitude, if we have that connection with Bhagwan, every knot in our life will just get sorted out. Our life will find one after another series of beautiful chapters. Every chapter will have his signature. In a Brahmin family in Bangalore, it was the youngsters who had first heard of Bhagwan and they started worshipping him. The elders were somehow skeptic about Bhagwan's powers. The youngest daughter somehow persuaded her father to take her to Puttaparthi for Bhagwan's darshan. But once the father came face to face with Bhagwan, once the father saw Bhagwan, once the father was touched by Bhagwan's love, now the father was a completely changed person. He did not wish to return to Bangalore. And Bhagwan agreed to his request. And Swami allowed him to stay in Prashantinilayam. In fact, this is the story of the first pujari of Prashantinilayam. He did not want to come. But once he came, he was so conquered that he did not want to return. And Bhagwan gave him this opportunity to worship daily in the sanctum sanctorum of Prashantinilayam. One day, Swami left the mandir in the care of this devotee, and Bhagwan had gone to Venkatagiri with other devotees for the Sri Rama Navami celebrations there. Now, this new pujari who used to regularly sweep and clean the mandir and perform the puja, now on the day of Ram Navami, he had made elaborate arrangements. Even though Bhagwan was physically not there, he had gathered plenty of flowers from the garden and he decorated the shrine and he did the puja. Now, once the puja is over, it is customary that when the arati is done, someone rings the bell, tolls the temple bell. Now, since Bhagwan was in Venkatagiri, everybody had gone off to Venkatagiri. In those days, there were very, very few devotees. We are talking about the 1940s. So, there was no one. So he was the only one who was there just doing the puja. And so he was doing it to his satisfaction. He was doing it with all love. But that particular day, when he was doing the aarti, there was no one to toll the bell. And the bell was a little distance away from the spot of the puja. And so he did not know what to do. He wanted to ring the bell, but he also wanted to do the aarti. So what he did was he did the aarti. He kept the aarti played down. He ran towards the bell. He rang the bell and he came back and again did the aarti. So somehow he was trying to do both, one after the other, because he's unable to do it simultaneously with his two hands and being just one person. So he did that for some time. But every time, you know, the bell would stop when he came back to do the aarti, and there's no way he can do the aarti and ring the bell at the same time. And he was at his wit's end to see how to get this done, hoping something will happen, hoping someone will come. And even as he was thinking how to conclude the puja well, he suddenly found that when he started doing arati, after some time, the bell started to ring on its own. There was some unknown hand which was actually pulling the rope and ring the bell. And he had no clue how the bell was ringing on its own. And that is what Swami does. Once you are so committed that you pour your heart and soul into the work that Bhagwan has given, then he takes over completely. You don't have to worry after that. You only have to put the effort, and the rest is looked after. There are so many such tales from the early times. One more very incredible tale. In fact, this same devotee was one day participating in the bhajan when Bhagwan, who was sitting on the dais, suddenly started tearing the flowers. Swami was just taking every flower from the garland, and Swami was putting the petals of the flower into his mouth, and Swami was chewing those flowers. And it very strange, Swami would never do that. And even as Bhagwan was doing that, Swami's cheeks bulged out in a very funny shape because Swami was continuously eating these flowers. And Swami was it seemed like he was doing some childish prank. And when everyone was wondering, what is Swami doing? Swami in a moment opened his mouth and brought out from his mouth. Now, everything that he had chewed, Swami just brought out from his mouth now a lovely garland of flowers. All the petals that had gone out and which he had chewed now had transformed into a beautiful garland, a lovely woven garland of flowers, all tied and so beautifully strung. Divinely fragrant came out of his mouth. That is how it is to be with Bhagwan. That is how sweet Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram is. On a Thursday, this devotee's daughter wanted to go to the market to purchase items required for the puja. She had a child, was 18 months old, and the child was down with fever. There was no one else in the house to look after the baby. But this mother, she wanted to go to the shops and buy these items for puja because she wanted to do it well. It was a Thursday. So she just put her faith in Swami and she left the sleeping child in the cradle, went out to the market. When she returned home after the purchases, she saw that the little child was jubilant. Little child was happily playing in the cradle, and when she touched the child, she saw that the child is absolutely fine. When she went, the child was down with fever, but now there was no fever. And the child was trying to tell something. The child was telling that somebody had come. When the mother asked who had come, and the child was describing, oh, this man with the big hair, this man had come with this big robe and this big hair, this man had come and he was there looking after me when you went. You want to worship me. You want to leave everything to me. Then don't worry. I am your guru. I am your guardian. I am your God. I am your everything. I will take care. I will take care. Bhagwan has told that any number of times. I'm in you, with you, around you, below you, above you. It is our call to experiment that. It's our call to experience that. It is our effort to internalize that and immerse ourselves in that complete sense of surrender and experience the bliss of his unending mercy, unending grace, unending support, unending love. In a very beautiful discourse in 1958, when Bhagwan was in Nellore, in the month of July, Swami says, I have come to help all to acquire this serene, equanimous nature. I want you to acquire this sattvic nature. Swami says, you hear all these miracles about me. I am created this, I have created that, or have made this, or I am giving this from my hand, or I have cured you, or I have fulfilled this desire of yours, or I have protected you. Swami says, they are not as important as the poised, equanimous state. These are not important. What is important is how serene are you, how sattvic are you, how calm are you, how you are able to take life's challenges in a spirit of equanimity. I am here to only instill that nature in you. Swami says, yes, of course, I confer on you all these boons of health, prosperity, but do you know why I confer on you all these blessings? Only so that you might, with greater enthusiasm and with less interruption, proceed on the spiritual journey. All these miracles are not for entertainment. It is so that you are on the spiritual path now with less interruptions, less distractions, with more energy. Everything is only towards that direction. Swami says, eat well, because your physical faculties should grow. Your physical faculties should be healthy. You need that good physique. Only when you have the good physique, you'll have good intelligence also. Swami said, bhakti will give you that shakti. And that shakti will grant you yukti. Yukti is the skill to deal with life. Everything starts from bhakti. Bhakti will give you that energy. That energy will give you the skill to deal with life. And Swami says, with that skill, you have to attach yourself to the proper things of life. Rakti. Bhakti, shakti, yukti, rakti. You have to attach yourself to what is permanent in life. Then your bhakti will finally lead you to mukti, liberation. That is the journey for all of us. Even as we listen to all these stories and miracles, these are only so that the bhakti develops in us. The bhakti which will lead us to shakti, which will give us shakti, which will give us that skill to deal with life, yukti, and will ensure that we are attached to Him and nothing else. And this rakti will finally lead us to the ultimate salvation, mukti. Swami says, a certain amount of attention has to be paid to the body and its care, as well as to escape the overpowering handicaps of poverty. You should not be in poverty. Pay attention to your daily needs, to your body, but be ever cautious that you don't get caught in the coils and you don't forget how temporary all this is. Keep your focus only on the Atma, because that is the basis of everything and that is the only reality behind all this appearance. That is the purpose of all these miracles. That is the purpose of all these stories too. All these stories should lead us towards that state of eternal, lasting happiness. It should lead us to the state where Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram exudes from our being. And Swami says, it's not only I who is Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, even you too. You are also Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. And as we listen to Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, as we listen to these life stories of Bhagavan, let us cultivate these qualities so that we too glow in truth, we too shine in auspiciousness, and we too are redolent with divine splendor. Thank you so much. Dear listeners, we'll continue this. There are many more tales. As long as Bhagwan guides and Bhagwan gives us these stories, we will live and listen and swim in the stories and use these stories to strengthen our relationship with Bhagwan. As always, if you want to share anything with me, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also write to me personally. My email ID is bishu@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sign out.